So good afternoon, everyone. Can you guys hear me? Am I audible? Okay. So, first of all, a very warm welcome to this session, which is session number 8 of our Introduction to Entrepreneurship course. And I hope you guys are enjoying your life. You are having very good time and waiting for the summer. So what is our today's session in our because there were some minor changes in the course conduct, which I will share in a while. And so we will discuss basically two things in our today's session. One is what kind of changes, minor changes we have made, and then what is the venture scaling and growth, that is the topic of our today's discussion. So if we move slightly further in this discussion, and you can see this renewed schedule here. And what you see here, basically when I was planning this course, so as I discussed with you guys earlier that there was a challenge with this course, because there are students from business background, there are students from non-business background. So it was a very nice challenge to design this course in such a way that to have a balance of content and to have something for everybody. So this course was designed in a flexible way, very flexible manner, so different people who are from different departments, they have some mandatory courses going on. And because this course was started a little bit later, and I also came to know from other students that there are some exams going on and some other important activities going on in their department. So we discussed it with the class because the course was designed in such a way that it's a mix of my teaching as well as guest speakers. So in this course, I used to have more and more guest speakers. Our next guest speaker was supposed to come today. He was very interesting. He has very interesting background. He was from China. He's an associate professor there. Then next week, we had a guest speaker coming from Aalto University from Helsinki. But as you know, this time, the attendance is a little bit more. But generally, in last few sessions, the attendance was very little. And then we discussed the idea with the students who are in the last session that if attendance is not there and students want to watch online lectures, then would it make more sense to share recording from the last year for some of the guest speakers so they don't have to travel all the way. And this way, we can keep the flexibility and we can still have the content there. And that idea, most of the students who are here in the last session, they agreed. And then we decided to make this minor change in the course. So now, if you can see, today is our session number 8, which will be on the topic of venture growth and scaling. After that, you can see in the red that there are 4 sessions which are recorded lectures, and they are shared online. But don't worry that you are not left alone in those sessions. What we can do is I will be available in all these sessions during the teaching time. But for the sessions which are marked here in red, if you need any discussion or you face any problem in the content or in the lectures there, you can just send me an email. And I will make sure that I am available online during those teaching hours to discuss with you personally what kind of issues you are facing and if you might need more discussion on some aspects of that content. For example, if there is entrepreneurial finance and you are facing some issues, you want to discuss it more with me, I can definitely reserve more time in those sessions. That's one thing. And the second thing is, if you can see here in the green, that is the session number 11 on 15th of May, that is, I have already shared Zoom link for that session. So I will be available during that session online. And that's without email. So you don't have to send me an email and collaborate for that. You can just come in that session and let me know if you are facing some issues. And 15th May, by then, I will also have given you feedback on your learning reflections, one. So you will know what is expected from the learning reflections, and you will also be very close. You already would have watched a couple of sessions, and then you can discuss more about that. But one thing, please, when you are, you know, watching those sessions, please keep in mind that those sessions are not, when I am delivering a lecture here, or some guest speaker is coming to the class. So we are not recording the lectures, like to share it in the recording format, because that's a different thing. So basically, it's an added thing what we offered. That was a bonus. We offered that, okay, we just keep the cameras open, and that kind of discussion is captured somehow. But it cannot give you all the idea of what has happened in the session. So in those four recorded lectures, please keep in mind that they are from the last year. And the discussion, the questions there in those sessions, they are from the last year. So you might face, you know, you when you will watch those lectures with this mindset, you will be better able to understand what has been discussed there in those sessions. So you don't have to follow, you know, completely. But with this mindset, you can watch those lectures. So this was basically at the CN to keep the flexibility of the course, as well as to enable you to go through the content, and then I can be here and we can discuss more, so we don't compromise on the learning goals, and I'm flexible until and unless we are able to achieve the learning goals, because to me, that is the most important thing. If your learning is compromised, then there is a problem, but until and unless you are able to understand and you are able to achieve the learning outcomes, we always have, you know, ways around flexibility. And that is how this basics level course, as I discussed many times, please don't expect something, you know, very high or advanced into this course. It's a very basic level course, and I want to keep it to stay focused on the basic concepts. And at the end of the course, what my idea is that you should be able to understand the key concepts of entrepreneurship, which can give you a good ground for the coming in your coming plans. I hope all it makes sense. Huh? Okay, so with that, if we move on. Basically, this is just a summary of the what was expected from you. We have two type of activities. One is learning reflections, and the other one is the entrepreneurial project. For the learning reflections, as I noted in Moodle yesterday when I was looking at Moodle, I noticed that almost out of 40, around 34-35 students are actively looking at content in Moodle, which is a very encouraging sign, which is a very good sign. But on the other side, yesterday when I was looking at the submissions, so there were 23 submissions. So what it indicates was that perhaps some of the students, they might be struggling with the deadline. They might have some exams going on and some other, important submission deadlines going on. So I have changed the Moodle settings and have offered you a couple of more days until May 8, now you can, if some of you who are present and who are online have not submitted the reflections, you can still, submit reflections by end of May 8. You have changed the settings accordingly. Then you can submit the learning reflections on 24 and entrepreneurial project on 24. Is that okay, clear? Okay, and after May 8, I will start reading, and then I will be come up with my feedback before 15th of May. So when we meet online and you have some problems in the reflections, you can definitely let me know and we can discuss more before your final submissions. Okay, so if that is done, that is clear, then we can briefly reflect on what we have discussed until now before focusing on our today's session. So what has been discussed so far? So basically, if you look at this entrepreneurship course, so it has three pillars. And the first pillar was entrepreneur. If you look at some of the sessions, we had initial sessions. I'm not going into detail of all that. If you look, we'll see the content again, you will notice that the content of our first few sessions that was fundamentally focused on the entrepreneur. That was the theme one of this course. Who is an entrepreneur? We discussed it from the economics perspective. We discussed it from a psychological perspective. We looked at the motivations of entrepreneurship. We looked at the different ways of becoming an entrepreneur. We also looked at entrepreneurial team. That was also, again, entrepreneur. And then we looked at human capital, social capital, cognitive capital of entrepreneur. So that was the first, you know, key theme of this course, of the first few sessions, that we should be able to better understand who is an entrepreneur. That was the first key theme. Now, if you recall and you see the content again, you will notice that our second key theme was related to external environment. And external environment, we had guest speakers for entrepreneur ecosystem, and then we discussed about external enablers. And at fundamental level, it tells us that we are talking about external environment, external incubators, accelerators, different types of support actors, universities, different funders, investors, economic situations, technological situations. So fundamental difference between entrepreneurial ecosystem discussion and external enablers, what is that? In external enablers, we talk about macro-level environments first, social, economic, regulatory, technological. But in ecosystem, we are more focused on the region, in the region where we are based, what kind of support structures are there. But again, entrepreneur, and then we discussed more about the external environment and get a better idea of the environment. Okay, so what was the third theme? If you look back to the content, you will notice that the third theme was around organization. And that starts with the idea. What is the entrepreneurship idea? Then we discussed about how that idea is evaluated on feasibility and desirability. And after that, in the previous session, we discussed about when you have evaluated the idea, how an organization can be created. But that way of opportunity exploitation is only one way. There are other ways of opportunity exploitation also. But we mainly focused on one way of opportunity exploitation, and that was to create a new organization. And when you are creating a new organization, it means that we are dealing about structure, we are dealing with people, we are dealing about systems, we are dealing about processes. Now, in our today's session, when we have discussed about organization creation, the next important question is how to grow this organization. How to grow this further. That is our today's discussion about, and the topic will be new venture growth. That is key theme three. And within this theme three, there are other discussions related to entrepreneurial marketing, finance. Sometimes you are failed in the enterprise and you have to exit the business. Sometimes in a positive way, you have to exit the business to focus on some other businesses. And then there is another growth way, that is the international entrepreneurship, growing internationally. But if you look at these four contents, you will notice that they are fundamentally related to this theme number three, which is related to the organization. So if you sum up whole entrepreneurship course, the content, it is designed around entrepreneur, it is designed around external environment, and then the organizations. So that was the whole idea of this entrepreneurship course, starting from day one to the end of the journey, to enable you to understand entrepreneur better, to enable you to understand the way of organizing better, and to enable you to understand the external environment in a little bit better way. I hope all it makes sense. I'm just recapping it because this is our last face-to-face session. So you know what is coming and how it is linked with all of the things what we have discussed earlier. Okay, so any questions? No? Great. So what after today's, when you will complete our today's session, you should be able to understand few things that you can evaluate today's session, what we will be learning. So keeping it simple, you will mainly learn about what is venture growth, the concept of venture growth, and then there is another related concept, which is scaling. So scaling, what is the difference between growth and scaling? And what are challenges in the growth process and how those challenges can be addressed in a much better way in the context of entrepreneurship. So these are some of the basic concepts what you will learn in our today's session. But before going further, what is growth in your opinion? How do you see the word growth? Anyone? Future entrepreneurs from different parts of the world. Yes. What comes to mind when you think about the word growth? Yes, please. Can you please pass on the mic?
Stepping out from the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, can you say it again?
Stepping out of the comfort zone to achieve your goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Stepping out of comfort zone to achieve some goals. Anybody else? The word growth, yeah. You can just speak. So fundamentally, if we look at the word growth, it's an increase. So one word which can capture the essence of the word growth, you have rightly mentioned, it's increase. Increase in what? Increase in size or importance of something. Just to give you some examples. Growth in income. So growth in income means that your income has increased. Growth in GDP. Growth in GDP means that GDP, gross domestic product of a country, has increased. Growth, child growth. It's, you know, bringing of the child. Intellectual growth. So this word can be applied, growth word fundamentally refers to increase. And when we are able to understand this word in a much better way, then we can apply it to venture. And what is venture? Venture is a business. And venture is an organization. And in our last session, if you remember, we discussed about opportunity exploitation. So when we exploit an opportunity, what do we come up with? So we came up with an organization. And what is an organization? When we discussed in our previous session, organization composed of people. It has some, you know, structure. It has some incentives. It has some, you know, systems. So it's a way different people have come together. So that is an organization. So if we combine these two words together, venture growth. So what is the venture growth then? So venture growth fundamentally can refers to increase. Increase in what? Increase in the sales of the organization. It can refer to increase in the resources of the organization. It can refer to increase in number of employees of the organization. It can refer to increase in operations. It can refer to increase in markets. You are in Finland and now you are selling in 10 more markets. That's an increase. So these two words combined together, they are called as venture growth. So when you exploited an opportunity, you created an organization as an entrepreneur, sometimes, not all the times, you want that organization to grow. You want to have more sales. You want to have more resources. You want to have sustainable growth, that growth which can be sustained. But it's not always the case that gaining a sustained growth and continuous growth is rare. You cannot do all the time. So that's our today's session, that we will focus on how we can achieve sustained. What is the word sustained? Sustained means you have increased. Just to give you an example, you have increased your income from maybe $2,000 to $3,000. That's one thing. The second thing is, can you sustain this $3,000 income every month? So achieving growth and sustaining is different. And when you want to sustain an organization, what you need to do is you need to scale. That's where the word scale comes in. And what is scaling? If you look at the first sentence here, that will give you a much better idea. So what it says is, scaling is the system's ability to handle the increasing amount of work. From where this increasing amount of work has come? Because you have increased the sales. You have entered into new markets. And because of that, the amount of work will increase. Previously, there were 10 people, now there are 50. So when the amount of work has increased, now the question is, have you developed a system in the organization at that level? Is your system still able to sustain that, you know, increase, that volume of more activity? If you have designed your system in such a way, it means that your system is scalable. It can scale to multiple countries. It can scale to markets. It has the ability to deal with the new workload or new kind of problems what will come because of the increased workload. And generally, what is the problem? What is the main problem in the growth is that sometimes you might be able to increase the sales, but you have not developed the system's ability. And if there is this misalignment between scaling, you have not developed the system, and you have sale, because of this, that misalignment, your organization or your business may, come into failure, may become a failure. So these are two, you know, fundamental concepts which you really need to understand, that what is the difference between scaling. Scaling is developing your system, and growth is more quantitative measure. Scaling is more qualitative measure. It's increasing the ability of your system. But it brings us to the question of, why do some ventures grow? I will not go into detail of this, because there is some more important content which I want to cover. But I have included it in the slides, that why some businesses grow, because they want to achieve economies of scale. When you are operating at high level, your cost of production goes down. Economies of scope, you are in the finance sector. You have also included software. So now software and finance. So it's the economies of scope. You are increasing the scope of your business. You become a market leader. When you are market leader in your industry, it comes with power, which is the point number 4. You want to accommodate more customers. You want to attract talented employees. If you get a chance to work from big companies, you will definitely go for that instead of going for the small company. So if you are growing, then, you know, other talented people will be more attracted to work with you. So these are some of the reasons why different ventures, they want to grow. But important to remember that not all businesses want to grow, or they don't have the potential to grow. Some shops here in the market, they are entrepreneurs, but they don't want to grow, or they are contented with their growth, or they cannot grow. But interestingly, the point number 2, sometimes businesses can grow too fast. They grow too fast that they are not able to manage. They grow, but their system has not scaled. And that, you know, also creates a problem. So you need to create a balance between scaling and growth. Okay. Any questions? We will have a couple of activities, but I'm just trying to cover the content first, so those activities will make more sense after that. So are you able to understand the difference between scaling and growth? Two fundamental concepts? Okay, that's fine. Great. So it brings us to the next part. I will not discuss this much into much detail. It's just to give you an idea that when you start a new business, new organization, so it can go through different stages. And these stages, you have different challenges at different stages. When you have started a business, what is your challenge? Your challenge is to find the first customer. Your challenge is to find the initial funding. Your challenge is who will be my co-founder. Challenges are different. When you have got the first customer and you have got first few more customers, you have got the co-founder. Now you have more employees, maybe 6 to 50. Now what are your challenges? How will I keep these 50 people? How will I get, employees with the right skills? How will I get more customers in a sustained manner? How can I develop system around that? How will I get more funding? So your focus is not your focus has shifted from individual to team to, more organizational side. When you have more people, like maybe 50 to 250, then your challenges will be different. You cannot manage all these people yourself. What will be the structure of the organization? What will be the rules of the game? What will be the process? What is our strategy? How that strategy will be implemented? So with that, your challenges are going to be different. When you have grown internationally in different markets, different cultures, different people, different background, different type of employees, they need different managerial approaches. So it's again, growth. Now the question is, this is growth, but what about scaling? So as an entrepreneur, you can imagine that your scaling challenges are going to be different throughout these stages. The fundamental question is how you will scale your system when at the start and how you will analyze that where my business lies at this point in time. And how I can grow that system in such a way that it gives me a very strong foundation to build a growth-oriented business or businesses which can grow in a sustained manner. And there are businesses, by the way, I will show you in a while. There are businesses which have, grown consistently. Not only 1 or 2 years, some of businesses have grown like decades. Consistently, they have grown in decades. I hope it makes sense, huh? Okay, so with that, one more framework. It's just to show you that, different businesses, they grow at different levels. Here, you can see the age of the firm. It can be young, which is recently started. It can be mature firm, it can have high growth, and it can have hyper growth. What is hyper growth and high growth? Hyper growth is very exponential growth. Some of the firms, they really grow exponentially. I will show you some examples. So this is also another way to look at the organization. But again, I will invite you don't look at growth word only. Your main job is also to look at scaling. So if you are here, just to give you an example, let's look at the practical examples. So for example, if you are, you can see OpenAI. So it's basically scale-ups. So if you look at growth of OpenAI in last couple of years, you will see that it's exponential. Now imagine you are the founder of OpenAI. And your users are growing from hundreds of thousands to millions and billions now. How will you ensure that your compute capacity is there, your employees, your systems, funding, and all of that? So it's completely different set of challenges. So these are some of the examples for Gazelles. You can see they have this high growth. TransferWise is an example here. Some firms which are more mature firms, but they still have, you know, this hyper growth. NVIDIA is an example here. Then these are some of the examples of high growth firms, which are also mature, like Spotify. It started very late. They were already into business. Shopify was already into business. Zoom was already into business when they started this, you know, new business. So they can be. But I will not ask you to, you know, go into, you know, so many details in all these four categories. Fundamentally, what you need to understand is that you need, as an entrepreneur, you need to understand how much you are growing and how much is the potential to grow. And then it's your judgment to ensure that your system has the ability to support that growth. If your system doesn't have the ability to support the growth, then it's a problem. Then you will have unsatisfied, dissatisfied customers. Then your employees may leave. Then you will not be able to deliver your promises. And sometimes you need, so your growth should be controlled. It should not be uncontrolled growth, which can be problematic. So there are some signs of that you are growing too fast. You can have a look at these signs later on when you will look at the slides. For example, one of these signs is that your product quality is declining. But because customers are increasing, ChatGPT, for example, if your product quality is declining, but your customers are growing exponentially. So it's like, you know, you don't know. That will, you know, backfire at some point. So you need to have, you know, understand whether you are growing too fast or not. So what kind of challenges we face when we are growing? What do you think? Any comments, like when you are growing or scaling up, what kind of challenges generally we as an entrepreneurs face? Yes, please. Yep. You can see it, then I can repeat, so it will come in recording. So one of the challenges will be you have different customers from different backgrounds. The feedback is, you know, there. So it's more related to maybe product market fit kind of challenge. Or it's related to market, your customer related challenges. What other challenges we can have when we are growing up? Thank you. It's very important. Nice. You have a business which is growing. What kind of challenges you anticipate? Yep. So two very important challenges. One, you have mentioned about strategy. And strategy is a way to achieve your goals. So strategy, what you set now, you are growing. There are so many things going on. And as an entrepreneur, when you started, you are, you know, at the very starting stage. Now, how to remain focused on that strategy when you have more investors, more people in the team, more co-founders, boards, proper management structures and all of that. How will you still? They will say that the strategy is not good and you need to change the strategy. So that's, you know, one very, very important challenge what you can face when you are growing up. And the other important challenge you mentioned is about workloads. That's related to, I will put it into people category. And in people category, you can see all these challenges related to people, human side, into one category. And one is workload. And another important challenge will be, how will you attract talented people to work in your company? And how will you retain them? How will you pay them salaries? How will you pay them compensation? And how will you ensure that you are benefiting from those talented people? Their work-life balance, that is the workload also. So that's very important. If you are an entrepreneur and you are not thinking of the team or the talent, you cannot grow. Because you will remain self-centered. So you have to change that mindset. And to be honest, I have been consulting few entrepreneurs. This is very difficult to, you know, change your mindset, because as an entrepreneur, you have worked so much that you have become self-centered. And now everything, you know, you don't think of other people. So that change of, you know, mindset is another very important challenge which you can, which you might face. So we can see some of those challenges, like people-related challenges, then process-related challenges. If you have 250 employees, different departments, what will be the processes to coordinate different activities within the company? So there could be, you know, challenges around that. Standard operating procedures, what technologies will be used. Interestingly, there could be some of the challenges which are external challenges. All these challenges, you can see they are mostly internal challenges. This one is at the nexus of internal and external. And the last one is more external challenges. So there can be challenges from Trump tariffs. There could be challenges from some conflicts, some technological disruptions. So there could be, you know, some changes in the external environment, and they can also impact your growth. So you should not always think of growth in your internal ways. So with that, let's have a look at some of the examples. First one, I think most of us have used this product. So let's look at the example of growth of this company. Do you know this company? OpenAI? How many of you don't know? So all of you know. If you don't know, how many of you know about ChatGPT? So I think every one of you know about ChatGPT. So this is the company. So if you look at the growth trajectory of OpenAI, do you see something interesting here? For example, if you see November 2023, how many customers? How many users? 100 million. Then you go to August 2024, which is, I think, almost 1 year. So in 1 year, the customers have increased from 1 million to 200 million. So it's an increase of 100 million. Then if you see from August to October, which is just 2 months, so in 2 months, it's from 200 to almost 300. Next 2 months, it's almost at the same level. But now if you see from December to February 2025, you will see that they are 400 million. And interestingly, if you look at the next slide, this is the recent one, like February 2025. And now, according to some estimates, this was internal information shared in an interview, which I also watched, that hits 1 billion users. So February 2025, 400 million, and now you have 1 billion. Now think as an entrepreneur. How you need to change people, skills of people, talented people, what processes need to be in place, how to collaborate with external actors, US government, international governments, different companies. All those, you know, interactions. What are you focusing on your strategy? Are you focusing on the internal processes and all of that? Product market fit, improving product, coming up with the new models. So there is so much which can be, you know, going on when your users are increasing. And it's an incredible figure. 1 billion users. So this is an example of hyper growth in small age. But do you think that ChatGPT can sustain this growth? Can it sustain? For that, we have another example, which is Google. So if you look at Google, you see here 2002. So it started, you know, around that time. And if you look at the growth trajectory, so they have been like, if you see 2023, so they have $305 billion of revenue. So it's like $256 billion of revenue. And now they have $348. So if you see, you can see, you know, this sustained growth. And it brings us to the question, how can a company grow consistently over, you know, more than two decades and it can sustain? Can it sustain without scaling the system? What kind of systems it has developed inside the company? That is the scaling part. So it can, you know, sustain the growth. But sometimes there could be failures. Do you know about this company, Jabon? So Jabon was a company which was creating some, you know, health trackers, fitness equipment, instruments in that domain. And once it was valued at $3 billion. But suddenly it has to shut down its operations after a few years. It grew very fast, $3 billion. But suddenly it has to stop. It has to liquidate and it has to, it went bankrupt. Because, why? Fundamentally, it could be because it could not scale up the systems. And there could be, you know, other reasons around overfunding. There could be other reasons around product quality. There could be, you know, other reasons. So fundamentally, it was uncontrolled. They just got funding because of the hype, but they could not maintain it. So that's the reason we need to have the controlled growth. There is another example here, very famous Nokia failure example. You might have discussed it in many other courses, so I will not discuss in detail here. But you can see the decline of Nokia's smartphone over time. It was once a market leader, and after that, it declined. What was the reason? What were the reasons? Can we understand this somehow from our today's discussion of, you know, growth and scaling? Of course, there could be some examples. So with that, what I encourage you to do is, you can open this slide and let's think together. Let's reflect on these four cases, four situations. And what do you think? What factors might have enabled OpenAI to grow exponentially? You can think of the scaling and customer growth, technology or whatever. What factors might have contributed to the sustained growth of Google over more than two decades? Now the focus is on sustained growth. What might have been the reasons of Jabon's failure in sustaining growth? What might have contributed to Nokia's failure? And with this, you can use the content like what we are discussing in our today's session. That can give you a lens to look at these, you know, four problems. And you can open this link and you can write your answers here. And we see. So let's have around 5 to 10 minutes for this and then we discuss more. But before that, if you have any questions, please let me know. If you want to do a little bit more research, maybe we can extend the time of this activity and you can do a little more research about Jabon and these companies if you want, maybe, but in maybe 5 to 10 minutes. Mainly, you can use the content what we have discussed. If you want to discuss within pairs, that would also be a great idea. Okay, thank you. So if we look at the first one, for example, OpenAI, do you see that? Are we missing some factors here? For example, you have mentioned about accessibility. It's accessible. It's affordable, intelligent. Second is also about accessibility. Then innovation, about affordability, customer side. So if you see closely on these points here, just give me yes. So if you see here in the first column, you can see that most of these factors you have mentioned, they are about product, they are about accessibility and technology. But then I will encourage you that if you see some of the frameworks, what we have discussed in the opportunity exploitation class session, organizational design, business model canvas, and some of the frameworks. If you apply those, some of those lenses, what we mainly discussed about business model canvas, and then you look at the same company again, OpenAI, you will start noticing that, it's not only this product, this technology, but it's also related to, for example, there was one partnership between OpenAI and Microsoft, where Microsoft invested $1 billion. There is a recent collaboration between OpenAI and US government and SoftBank, which is a $500 billion dollar project to build infrastructure. Then there are similar, kind of collaborations between OpenAI. Recently, OpenAI has got $40 billion of investment. $40 billion of investment, which is a lot. So if you see, it's not only about product, it's not only about customer, but it also is related to the inside systems of the company. So if OpenAI would not have been able to scale up their systems immediately, compute capacity and other things, they might not be able to sustain this growth. So it requires, that kind of leadership. And same is the case with Google. When I was in US, I met few people who are working at Google, and they were very appreciative of Google's, human resource policies, their food and other kind of benefits and bonuses and with all that. So that is the reason they are able to attract, talent and those kind of things. With Jawbone, as I mentioned, you have mentioned some of the issues. And with Nokia, there could be some other issues. So mainly, you can see that, different growth trajectories of the companies and businesses, they depend on the way we design our systems and we develop the growth strategies. So if we... Okay, so next, what's going on? Sorry, just give me a second. There are some technical issues here. So if you see these growth strategies, they can be seen from this way, that they can be, there are internal growth strategies, and but I will not talk much on this now because I have said most of the things on this session already. So I will just, you know, briefly mention about these. So there are, if you look at the these four organizations again, and you see, you know, some of those growth achievement and not achievement, they are related to internal growth strategies. And they are the strategies which are inside the company, which are where you want to grow, but you want to grow organically. You can develop your product, you can develop the features of the product, and you can focus on the new product development. You can focus on other product related strategies, like offering new products, new models, or a new kind of product, but they are internal strategies. Then international expansion, that is also internal, that you can go from one market to another market to third market, and you can keep growing internationally. But then there are external strategies. For example, mergers and acquisitions. Mergers and acquisition is a way where you buy another business. For example, Meta, which is the Facebook's parent company, they bought WhatsApp. They bought Instagram. So many of these companies, if you want to grow, sometimes they also, you know, buy other companies. You can license your business. That is another way to grow. There are examples, KFC, there are examples of McDonald's, and there are examples of, you know, but they are franchising examples. Licensing could be like you can license your patent to some other company. You can give license. That's another way to grow. You can enter into strategic alliances, some partnerships with other companies. So these are different internal and external strategies which can enable different type of entrepreneurial firms to grow further. And sometimes it brings us to another interesting question, why do some firms or ventures in certain regions scale more? Why is it the case that most of the companies like Meta, Airbnb, Google, most of these companies have grown from Silicon Valley, which is the Bay Area, Silicon Valley in California, USA. Why is that? Why not from other regions and other places? So if you look at this, this is very comprehensive diagram. It will give you a comprehensive picture of what a region offers to some companies to grow. So if you look at here, in the bottom side, you can see skills. And up here, you can see infrastructure. So what it means is that if you are in a place, that place gives you an infrastructure. And what is that infrastructure? It gives you access to finance. OpenAI got $40 billion. If Elon Musk would have been in Europe or in some other country, would he be such successful? So financing, you know, the venture capital and other types of investments, what you need to grow your business, they may be available in that region. Access to working space, office and other spaces, research and development, access to markets. I heard from many people in California that other entrepreneurs, they are early adopters of technology. So if they are early adopters, you can get, you know, access to the market, export strategies and documentation and everything. Then if you go back down, that is the skill side. Skill side, you have the organizational skills, you have access to talent, there are talented people there. And then there are, you know, networks, other entrepreneurs, and they bring in, you know, their information, advice, and those. There are a lot of skills what you need in your business. They are available in that region. So skills are available in that region. Infrastructure is available in that region. And that becomes the reason that most of those companies which grow, they are from certain regions. But it's not the case for all the companies. You also need to have skills to take benefit from that infrastructure or that place. Otherwise, you cannot get, you know, that benefit. I hope it's not complicated. If that is the case, so I think we can move to the next part. What comes to your mind when you look at this figure? What's happening here? Can you speak loud, please? Okay. Neurosurgeon. Healthcare related, okay. What else? What story comes to mind? Don't look at the next slides. What do you think? Anyone from here? Nothing comes to mind. Anyone from the middle? Yes, please. Sorry, service being provided by? Excellent, excellent. So this person here, he has credentials. That's another important way to look at it. You mentioned about healthcare. Yeah, definitely. And you said he's a neurosurgeon. He could be a neurophysician, he could be a neurosurgeon, but one thing is for sure that he's a doctor and he has credentials. That's important. What else? Kai, speak up. I have been speaking for more than an hour now. Yes, please. Thank you. Excellent point. So, another way to look at it is this person is having a laptop here and he's looking at the laptop and trying to analyze some information with the help of the technology. And it could be other information, but in this situation, it seems like that this information is related to this picture. And what this picture indicates? Anything comes to your mind when you look at this spot here? And okay, so one is this person looking at the analytics of this brain, and then you also have something here. Here you can see it's an indication of some person. And it's an indication of documentation. So what all this is basically a case study of a situation where there is a startup which is started by three biomedical engineers and one AI developer. They have launched NeuroScan Diagnostics. That is the name of the company. And what this company does is, it's a healthcare startup based in Helsinki. Their mission is to improve the early detection of brain tumors. So this basically indicates this brain tumor. And they have, they are trying to solve this problem that it should be detected early. With the help of AI-assisted brain scanning. So there is a traditional brain scanning, and now they have incorporated and integrated different AI technologies like vision computing, imaging, different type of machine learnings, that discriminatory machine learning type of things, which has enabled them to diagnose brain tumor a bit earlier. The product not only identifies possible tumor regions with 92% accuracy, but also automates key administrative workflows, such as referral generation, scan scheduling, and reporting. So it's this part. Documentation. So neurosurgeon or neurophysician has to work with other doctors, other specialists, has to work with the hospital administration, has to work with the government and other, you know, institutions sometime. So that doctor, so what this startup is doing, it is enabling that neurosurgeon or that neurophysician in two ways. One, assisting in the scanning, and the other one is the documentation. Automating, you know, all that documentation. So what they did was, the team piloted their product in collaboration. So they have developed that product and they have already piloted it with the help with an hospital. Until now, they have performed 300 scans with strong diagnostic support feedback. So the product is performing very good. The hospital has reported 30% reduction in the diagnostic turnover times. The time has reduced. It has become faster. They have got initial funding of 500,000. They have also got a regulatory advisor, because health products, they need regulations. They need to be regulatory compliant. They have also gained European conformity certification that they can sell this product to other European countries. And now here is the situation. They are 8 people, 4 co-founders, 4 new role, business development, regulatory advisor, designer, and clinical license person. They have got initial funding. The product is working. They are currently working in Finland. There are 2 more hospitals want to work with them. But they want to grow it to 5 European countries within next 5 years, becoming a leading platform for AI-based brain diagnostics and workflow automation. So this is the whole situation. And you have the content of venture growth and scalability. You have talked about customer and those growth parameters. We have talked about scaling, system ability, system, people, strategy, incentive systems, leadership, and all these internal and external strategies. There are challenges around that. So in that context, how do you see, you are an advisor for NeuroScan. That is the name of the company. So that company has approached you that, hey guys, we heard that you have studied an entrepreneurship course in Uvascular University. So we have approached you that we are into this situation. We are into this problem that we want to grow this company. Can you help us? What should we do? What resources and capabilities do we need to achieve this growth target? What strategy or combination of strategies do you suggest so we can achieve our target? What kind of challenges do you think that we will face in achieving our growth targets? And share your opinions on this talk. You can open it, and please do it in pairs. That would be nice if you can collaborate with someone who is sitting close to you. And you can open this talk and share your opinions here. And that's the last thing of our today's session. Then we can just wrap it up. Guys, don't be shy. You are an advisor to, you have already become an advisor for entrepreneurial firms. Okay, so with that, we can just reflect on some of the answers for one or few minutes, and then we can just wrap it up, our session. So if you look at the first column, I'm never disappointed, you know, from the students, because always whenever there is this collective wisdom, it's like 2008 and now it's 2025, so it has been over 15 years. Almost in all cases, whenever I have given some task to students and they have collectively worked on it, they have always come up with interesting ideas. And as you can see in this file, there are like you have covered almost, you know, many, although we have fewer people in the class, and you have little time, like few minutes, you have come up with these ideas. And if you spend more time, you can come up with more interesting ideas and more practical ideas. So it's, you know, more a matter of time. But the good thing is that your direction of thinking is right. You are thinking in the right direction to look at, you know, you have mentioned about legal aspects, you have mentioned about people aspects, you have mentioned about technology. There is this mention of funding, there is this, you know, mention of strategic alliances. And also patenting is could be an issue because it's an innovative product. Patenting could be an issue. And it's in the health sector. Regulations could be another big challenge here. Despite that, they have got some approval. But regulations, you know, keep on changing. And international talent is another big issue, because to develop this kind of product and implement it not only in European Union but also later on maybe in some other countries, that's a, you know, challenge. You need international expertise, and that could be an additional challenge for this company to grow further. Strategy is another challenge. So marketing expertise. So you have mentioned about different type of challenges, and here I will sum up with this session. My teaching approach is that I try to mention, you know, different type of frameworks, and then I invite you people to select some, you know, simple framework and use that framework to analyze the practical situation and the case companies. And it gives you a better idea and a deeper understanding of the case situations. So this is one case situation. Other four examples we have discussed, there are other practical situations of the companies, and there will be similar kind of practical situations in your life. And you always don't rely on your own expertise. You always have other people in the surrounding, in the environment, your co-founders and other people who are there to help you in the ecosystem. So you should stay open, think in the right direction, and use as many tools, relevant tools as possible. I'm not, you know, concerned about using generative AI tools and other types of tools, because when you are working practically, you have all these tools at your disposal. But the thing is, you should be able to critically analyze the information, what is coming from generative AI tools, what is coming from internet, what is coming from your colleagues and from your co-founders or from other people. And to do that critically, if you have some analytical tools or some lens to look at the practical situations, they always help you to understand the realities in a much better way. And that was the whole idea of this course, of these 8 sessions. If you go back to all these sessions, it's not necessary that you have to select all the tools and learn all those tools. Maybe just, you know, select one tool from one session to understand one aspect of the entrepreneurship in a better way. And I think the purpose of the course, this is the last thing I'm saying, is always I say that when you are coming to the class and you are not taking something new. For me, if you are sitting in the class, 90% of the content, you might feel that it's not relevant to you. But maybe that, you know, 5%, maybe that 10%, maybe 1 or 2 points, that may be very important. That may be enough to give you motivation, to give you encouragement, to give you inspiration And then information is not an issue. Knowledge is not an issue. Lectures and everything is available on the internet, and there are many interesting sources. It's more important that you change your perspective. You change your way of, you know, looking at the life. You change your way of conducting your life. You change your way of moving further. And with this course, I really encourage all of you to start thinking more entrepreneurially, in an entrepreneurial way, more in a risk-taking manner, more in an innovative way, or simply, I would say, more, you know, in a problem-solving way. There are problems all around us. There will be problems in our lives and in the lives of our coming generations. We need more people who start thinking of solving some of those problems. And that's, you know, what contribution we can make. And that's whole this entrepreneurship course is about, that you start looking at the problems in the environment in a different way. And then you may, you know, at some point select some of those problems. So it's not important that you are starting your business. You may be working in some companies. For example, this course and another course, let me share with you, when I joined US College University 2 years ago, I got 2 new courses and I completely redesigned both courses, although I was not required to redesign the courses, but I redesigned both of the courses because I felt some of the issues and I felt some of the problems, and I wanted to, you know, solve some of the issues and some of the problems what students are facing. I'm not sure how much successful I have been in that, but I am a lifelong learner. So I keep improving myself, I keep learning things, I keep looking at the problems and weaknesses, and I keep improving. And that I will keep doing, and I encourage and I will advise all of you to have one attitude, that is the lifelong learning. That's the only thing what's going to stay. Otherwise, whatever you are learning in this class, it may become obsolete very soon, because the things are changing so quickly, so rapidly. So one thing, one word or concept which I want you to take with you is the lifelong learning. And with that, thanks a lot. I greatly appreciate your presence here and enjoyed the time. And any problem you face in the course, please immediately send me an email. We have time. We can discuss on Zoom. We have few more recorded sessions, and you are most welcome to contact me, and I will be managing time for you guys. So with all that, thanks a lot for coming, and have a nice rest of the time, and best of luck for your future. Thanks a lot.